Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. 8:05 Central Time, that means it is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Scott Snow from Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Wichita, Kansas. Good morning, Pastor Snow.
Good morning, Andy.
Thanks so much for being our guest pastor this morning and helping us study Matthew chapter 20. Tell us about Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Wichita, Kansas.
Holy Cross is about to celebrate our 75th anniversary as a congregation here in Wichita, and we have a church and school in this location, a wonderful location to do the ministry of the gospel, and we're very pleased to serve the eastern part and actually the whole metropolitan area of Wichita and the surrounding area.
Well, very good. And we're so glad that you are there with the saints, delivering God's good gifts in word and sacrament, proclaiming God's good news there in Wichita. This morning, we are studying Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. Any context you'd like us to understand before we dig in?
I think it is helpful to look a little bit at Matthew chapter 19, so the chapter just ahead of our text. There are a couple of examples there where Jesus is talking about wages and payment, and the whole idea, I think, in the text that we're going to be covering is about how God is unfair, and that's a good thing for us because he's much more generous than what we deserve or ask. In Matthew chapter 19, there are some questions from the rich young man asking what he has to do to be saved. And then the context also, the disciples ask, what about us, Lord? We've given up everything. What's in it for us? And I think that all fits into what we want to talk about today.
Very good. We're in Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16 this morning, studying with Pastor Scott Snow from Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Wichita, Kansas. If you have questions or comments, send us an email, kfuo@kfuo.org. Here we go, Matthew chapter 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, you go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you. All right, let's pause there. Let's take a look at those first few verses. For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Parables always start with, for the kingdom is like, right? That's usually how parables start, something like that.
Yeah, they often do. I think parables are wonderful opportunities for us to have an insight into what Jesus in particular is bringing to us from his heavenly Father. Jesus is often described as the master teacher, and one of the things that he often did was to use parables. The way I like to define that, and we use that here and elsewhere, is to say that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. The pieces are not always exactly parallel, but in general, then what we do is look at that earthly story, a way to connect with what we understand, what we recognize in our world, and then we get that kind of aha moment when we see what the parable is and how it applies. And it's probably best for us to always remember that Jesus is the answer. He's the key to the parables. And when we see Jesus in them, then we can see how they unlock and unfold and what the point is that God is making for us.
So he goes out to early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And after agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Now, the amount of money agreed upon here, is that a typical day's wage?
Yeah, the denarius was a Roman coin, mm-hmm. and it was what was usually seen as a fair wage for a fair day's labor for a worker. So a worker in the field, also a Roman soldier, would be paid a denarius each day, and that was a reasonable amount for a reasonable day's labor.
So they agree upon a denarius for a day, and he sends them out into the vineyard. Okay, so the first crew he sends out in the morning into the vineyard to work. Anything else that we need to know about this, or that we should be considering as we look at these first few verses?
I think what I would say, too, is the point that he goes out early in the morning, because what we'll do is contrast that with those who went out later in the day and finally at the end of the day. So let's say he goes out at 6 o'clock in the morning, and where the landowner would go would probably be to the city gates. They didn't have employment offices or unemployment offices there, no place where they could go to find laborers except at the city gates, where people would wait during the day to find someone who would come and hire them so that they'd be able to work for the day and be able to bring wages home for their families.
So here we have the first crew after and then verse 3, and going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, you go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you.
And so that would be, let's say, 9 o'clock in the morning. So the first group has gone out. They've actually been in the fields for 3 hours working. And the master says, you know, I need still more to work. I'm looking for more. I desire both more to be accomplished, and I'm looking for more workers to help accomplish what I want accomplished. So he goes back to the city gates again and finds people still there, or maybe new ones who've come there who need something to do also, who are looking for employment, and then he hires them. It's interesting to note that in this next groups, in these next groups of employees or the workers, there's no specific mention made about how much he would pay them. It's the first group that he agrees to for the denarius a day. And as you said, then at three hours later, at 9 o'clock in the morning, this next group is employed and sent out into the fields too.
And the agreement here is, I will give you whatever whatever is right is what I will give you. It's not a set amount. It's whatever is right.
Right in the eyes of the landowner. And then we're already beginning to think, well, what does that mean for the parable? Well, God provides for us what he knows we need and what's right.
So they went, verse 5, so they went, going out again about the 6th hour and the 9th hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, why do you stand here idle all day? They said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you go into the vineyard too.
So he goes out then at noon, and then at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then I think about it, just before the day is ready to end, so it's, let's say, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and the master goes each of these times, the master looking for, again, more work to be done and more workers in the harvest field to do his work. So it's almost quitting time, and he's still looking for more people, and warmly welcomes them, he invites them, he challenges them, why are you here? Well, because we don't have anything to do. We don't know where to go. Nobody's hired us yet, so we need employment also.
So he sends them into the vineyard, and just like the other workers. And verse 8, and when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first. Oh, goodness.
So here it's like quitting time, and you hear the whistle blow, the work blows, whistle for the work blows, and it's time for the employees to quit, so they all come back in and they put their shovels and hoes and rakes away, and then they line up to be paid. And that was the system there too, because that was a hand-to-mouth existence, and they needed what they received that day to be able to buy food for their families. So again, the echo here is that God provides for us on a daily basis what we need daily, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread.
And so they call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first. Why the last with the first?
I think it was to set up those who had first been called. Had they been paid first and they left, so they would have been paid, and then those first workers would have left, they wouldn't have waited around to see what the last ones were also paid, in all likelihood. It helps us in the story that Jesus is telling so that as we contrast what we receive, what blessings are ours, how God calls us to work, then we can contrast that with others, and we need to recognize that God is fair. God does provide for us, and we don't need to worry what somebody else gets or God's generosity to someone else. Had the last not been paid first, the whole crisis, the whole setup would not have worked exactly the same way.
And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Okay, so the last, they came and got their denarius. They got paid a denarius,
which was completely unfair. And that's the purpose of the text, is to look at how God treats people, how the worker, how the landowner treated people. He dealt with them very generously. Even though those in the 11th hour, they'd worked maybe an hour before it was quitting time, they received a full day's wage.
And now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. Okay, so I was hired first. I thought, I'm probably going to, since those guys who went in front of us got a denarius and they came in later, surely I'm going to get more than that, right?
Exactly. You could see them maybe even being a little greedy, or at least hopeful, when they see the master's generosity, the landowner's generosity. Look, these guys only worked a little bit of the day, and he's given them a full day's wage. I can't wait till it's my turn to receive what I'm going to get. Surely it will be more. It's only fair.
And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." They sound justified, don't they, in their grumbling?
Yes, and I think we, at first glance, probably want to identify with them because, you know, we always want things to be fair. Whether it's kids playing a game, they want it to be fair. Whether it's us as adults who are workers today in our workplaces, we want to be treated fairly. Maybe we want to be treated better than fairly. We hope to receive honors and awards and promotions, and we compare ourselves with others and see ourselves justly getting more than others who are around us.
Do we really want what's fair? Because if we get what is fair, what do we really deserve?
Yeah, and that's the beauty of this whole text, and that's what it's all about, is that, in fact, God is not fair, and that's good news, and that's the gospel. The fact is that what God gives us is his mercy when we don't deserve it. I like the definition of the contrast between mercy and grace. Mercy is that God doesn't give us what we do deserve. And Romans chapter 6 tells us that what we do deserve, the wages of sin, is death. But because God is merciful, he doesn't give us what we do deserve. And the flip side of that, the other part of that, is that he gives his grace. And grace is what he does give us that we don't deserve. And what he does give us that we don't deserve is the gift of eternal life through faith in Jesus our Savior. And so what the master does here, the master is the picture of God. God gives graciously to all. He knows what everyone needs. He provides for us. He doesn't give us the punishment we deserve because of our sin, but what he does give us is mercy and grace and forgiveness and peace and joy through faith in Christ. What Christ has earned for us, those are the wages we receive.
We're studying the Daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Scott Snow from Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Wichita, Kansas. We're in Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. If you have questions or comments, send us an email, kfuo@kfuo.org. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll pick up and take a look at those last few verses. And they might actually take us longer than everything else. So stick around for more study of God's Word right here on His Time on Worldwide. KFUO, the messenger of good news. Thank you.
We give thanks to God for 45 years of His grace and blessings on the ministry of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. We invite you to join us as we continue to receive God's blessings every week through His Word and sacraments. Worship on Sunday is at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri. Visit our website, goodshepherdarnold.org.
What does faithful family life look like in a Lutheran worldview? Hi, I'm Eddie Bates, host of Faith and Family. Each day, we discuss different aspects of faithful family life with experts and everyday people. We discuss parenting, aging, work, school, relationships, vocation, and more. Join me weekdays at 10 a.m. for Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. Underwritten by Concordia University, Wisconsin. Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Scott Snow from Wichita, from Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Wichita, Kansas. We're in Matthew chapter 20 today, and if you have questions or comments about the text, give us an email, kfuo@kfuo.org. Pastor, any other comments before we go on to the last few verses here? Anything else about what we've studied up through this part?
I think probably one of the scriptures that comes to mind for me is from Isaiah 55, when we're talking about the way God views things and how we view things. We don't see God as fair sometimes, and we want to grumble about that. As we've said, the good news is that God is not fair because He's more generous and loving and forgiving than what we actually deserve. And what comes to mind for me is the words from the prophet Isaiah, from Isaiah 55. God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." And it's a good reminder for us that when we try to play God and want to make the judgments and decide that it's up to us, God reminds us what place we ought to be in, and that, again, His grace is more than sufficient, and His grace is a wonderful thing for us to receive.
So here the workers are grumbling, the ones who worked the full day, they're grumbling that they didn't get paid more than that they were made equal, that the other workers who didn't work as much as them were made equal to them. But the owner replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? So the last will be first and the first last." So he replies, it begins with, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong."
And that's a beautiful way to recognize that even though the master's generosity, even though the master's actions are questioned by the laborers, the master still responds in a loving way. "You are my friend. Let's not be enemies about this. Let me explain to you why I'm doing what I'm doing. And understand that what I do is a good and gracious, a merciful thing. Because I love and I care not only for you, as we've agreed what you would receive, but I want to make sure that others have those same benefits as well."
Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Take what I give to you and go.
Be satisfied. That's what Scripture says too. Having food and raiment, having food and clothing, let us with these be content. I think it's both a good reminder for us in an earthly sense as we live as the laborers God calls into His vineyard, and also the promise eternally. God provides for us as His children, those who He calls friends, those who He makes friends through the death and resurrection of Christ. We, His sons and daughters, are in that relationship with Him, And it's a good reminder for us as we might have a tendency to question God in the world in which we live. Lord, why is it that these people who are evil, why is it people who come to faith late in life, why is it those who've lived in rebellious ways or ungodly ways, maybe even to the end of their life, who then change, who are changed by the Spirit of God, why is it that they would get as much as we do? Maybe we even think that they get more than we do. And God reminds us in His Word that He is gracious, that He causes the rain to fall on those who are believers and those who are unbelievers. And that's, again, what He determines, what He decides, and He's good. And we want to give thanks for that and also recognize that He knows more than we. His thoughts are above our thoughts, His ways above our ways.
I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? what belongs to him?
Some of my favorite scriptures, too. The cattle on a thousand hills are mine, says mm-hmm. the Lord. The gold and the silver and all the mines is mine. So everything we see, everything visible and invisible in all of creation, it all belongs to God. God chooses, by His grace and through His generosity, as we said earlier, to give us daily what we need for our daily needs. Luther talked about the fact that God gives whatever we need to support this body and life, our food and clothing and house and home and family and all the rest that we need are provided for us each and every day. And then the eternal context here, the eternal unfolding of the parable is that ultimately and finally, on that last day, when all work here on earth is done, and God receives people into His heavenly kingdom, we may say, why them? Why not me first? Why not me in a better place? And God says ultimately there again, I'm in charge of it all. Be patient. Friend, I love you. Don't worry about what somebody else gives because I give from my generosity. The expression is sometimes said, when you get to heaven, you may look around and say, you're kidding. He is here or she is there. And then we have to remember there may be plenty of folks in heaven who say that same thing or ask that same question about us. It's not a matter for us or anyone else that there's anything we've done or earned or deserved or that we should have as our wages. Again, it all comes to grace. Mercy first and grace next for us and for everyone who's there as a part of the kingdom.
Or do you begrudge my generosity? To begrudge the generosity of the master, of the owner here is, he's been generous. He's provided what he's agreed to provide. He's given what he's agreed. He's generous. Why would we begrudge his generosity?
And I think that comes to selfishness. It mm-hmm. comes to sin. You see that in the New Testament, too, when the Jewish leaders grumbled against Jesus for offering forgiveness, for providing help and healing. You'd think, why in the world? If those folks, if anyone is in need and God gives it, why wouldn't we be thankful? And I think that just comes back to our old sinful self, our sinful natures, where we want to be first and most and best, putting ourselves in the place of God or judging God because of His generosity. It's all a matter of the first commandment, putting ourselves or things above God and in God's place, and judging God when He doesn't do things the way we think He ought to do them.
So the last will be first and the first. Speaking of He doesn't do things the way we think they should be done, so the last will be first and the first last.
And that's a blessing. That's a wonderful thing because God turns what we think upside down. And this isn't a parable about labor laws. It's not a parable about how we think things ought to be done. But it's a parable about the kingdom and ultimately a parable, a story about God's grace, about God's goodness.
Looking over the text as a whole today, Pastor, anything else that you'd like for us to know as we wrap up our study of this Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16 text?
Yeah, I think it's important for us to put our trust in God, that God knows what labors need to be accomplished. He knows what workers he chooses for the field and when he chooses them to go into his service. And we can be thankful for that, that we who live, as Scripture says, no longer live for ourselves, but we live for him who lived and died for us. If we want to ask the question, what's in it for me? Well, the answer is an answer by faith, that living as his disciples, living as Christians, is already a reward in itself. The fact that we can live in this world, and the fact that he even graciously calls us to labor for him, to live as a child of God, to share the word of God, to share the gospel, to share the message of Christ who lived and died and rose again, to share that with others, that's what it means to be a part of his workforce, a part of the vineyard. We're reminded by Jesus, too, that we should pray that there would be more workers into the field. The harvest is ready. There's much that needs to be done, he says, and what we should do is pray for even more laborers. So rather than worrying about how long we've labored and who else is not working, we thank God that we have the privilege of serving him and living for him in this life, and that we want others to do that, too. So that ultimately, when the whistle blows, when the clock stops, when the work here is over, when night comes, when no one else can work, that we can hear him ultimately say to us what we hear in the New Testament, "Well done, thou good and faithful servants, inherit the crown of life, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the beginning of and the foundation of the world." That's what his kingdom is, his rule over the world here, and his ultimate rule in heaven. And the fact that we've been able to be a part of that workforce is grace in itself, and we can be thankful that we are, and others are invited as well.
We've been studying the Daily New Testament Reading today with Pastor Scott Snow from Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Wichita, Kansas, Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. Pastor Snow, thanks so much for being our guest pastor and helping us study this text.
It's my pleasure. I look forward to continuing to work in the vineyard in this corner of his vineyard in Wichita, and we're thankful for the good folks at Holy Cross Lutheran Church and School in this place, and pray God's blessings on you and your work and the work of others all over the world who seek to be those that the Savior calls into his service.
Amen. Well, God bless you and all the saints there at Holy Cross in Wichita, Kansas.
Thank you, and God bless you.
Thanks. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got some sacred music to help sanctify your morning as well. Stick around for more His Time coming up right after this break on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.